Question was asked, how do we make tefillah, prayer, meaningful? We're saying the same words every single day. So, when we look at tefillah, historically, so originally tefillah was a personal expression of a person's needs, a person's hopes. A person communicated with his creator what he wanted, what was missing in his life. So that kind of tefillah is automatically invigorating, right? You're talking. Long come Chazal and say, now it's the period, the very beginning of the Second Temple era, and people don't know how to express themselves well. People don't know the language well. People don't know how to compile prayer well. So we will institute one size fits all. One form of prayer that will encompass everyone. But how do you do that? So, Chazal, together with the prophets, and that's why you needed prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, were part of the men of the great assembly because they're going to formulate a prayer that is supposed to encompass every single person's needs till the end of time. So that's pretty amazing. You know, that means anything you need should be somewhere there in prayer. You just have to find it. But they used wording that has so many levels of interpretation that even the layman who reads the wording can find many levels of interpretation as he reads the word. So let's take an example. Slach lanu avinu ki chotonu. Forgive us, our Father, for we have sinned. What is that referencing? Is that referencing the government kicking people out of their homes in Gush Katif, beating people up in Amona? Is that referencing my Shmona Esrei yesterday that had zero kavana? Is that referencing my Birkas Hamazon that I forgot? So they used a global term, slach lanu, us, ki chotonu, for we have sinned, and now it's up to me. What intent do I have when I say that? Now, it's true that if I go on autopilot and the words just come spewing out of my mouth and I don't think before I speak, then my Shmona Esrei is going to have the same meaning or lack thereof every single day, three times a day. But if I do spend time to think, then my Shmona Esrei will be completely different. So the key is the preparation. The key is how much thought do I give before I speak. Now, if I didn't have a chance to prepare before I say Shmona Esrei, I can prepare before each blessing. I can pause and think and then speak. You've had enough time to learn what the Shmona Esrei has, more or less, so you think for a minute. Before I say Refa'inu, I pause. I ask myself, who am I praying for that should be healed? I have a long list. I think about it before I say Refa'inu. Before I say Re'ei ve'onyenu ve'riva rivenu ugalenu me'ra leman shemecha. Hashem, see how we are suffering. See our oppression. Who do I think about? Am I thinking about Jonathan Pollard? Am I thinking about all the people in the Yeshuvim that are having rocks thrown at them? Who am I thinking about when I say Re'ei ve'onyenu? So I try to think of a lot of things. But the key here is that person has to think. The words are easily applicable to every scenario. Yeah, but you gotta think about it. Hashiva shofteinu kevarishona. Return our judges the way they were initially. All you have to do is read a little bit about what's going on in the justice system in this country, and that blessing comes naturally. You realize at the root of our suffering here socially is the justice system. So it's not so hard to have Kavanah. So that's one aspect. In the second, we'll deal with another aspect. But Amichai has something. Yeah.
In regards to like the whole thing, like return our judges to the way they were, I mean, all throughout our history, we've had problems with that, no?
I didn't think so, no. In Shmuel's time, in David's time, in Shimshon's time, I think the judges were very good. In Dvorah's time.
But we still had all these, like, I mean, I don't know what we're going to classify these judges. If we're going to be talking about, like, the royal family in general, like, we saw, like, all these uprisings in David's family, you know, like...
But the judges were clean. The justice system was very, very good. Yeah. Shaul, yeah, all these people, yeah. Throughout the period of Shaul, David, Shlomo, Rechavam, we don't find that the judges were unjust. No. Throughout the period from the time we entered Eretz Yisrael until after Rechavam. So we're talking about half a millennium.
Why were, I don't know if it's general populace, but we, things being more like right now, Shoftim, and I know that it jumps from, it jumps a lot of stuff, but, it's talking a lot of that at the time, it's saying, the people were falling, so then someone new came up. The people were falling, so someone new came up. And, it's a constant cycle that, if the justice is so well, why is it that we're having such hard problems keeping ourselves on a straight path?
There are two different things, a justice system and leaders who will actually go out there and ensure that people stay on the path of Avodas Hashem. A justice system is when two people have claims against one another. Shmuel's children were fantastic judges, but they stayed at home. Our courts were good, but our leadership wasn't dealing enough with ensuring that we stayed on track. But when you took a person to court, the system was just. Shmuel's children were super just. The problem was they stayed in one city because they felt that by staying there, they would promote the economy of that city. And they were right, but it was a miscalculation. The people needed them to travel from city to city like their father had. And that way the people would have had that guidance of a great leader coming to their city and ensuring things that are done the way they should. But the system was just. Shmuel's sons were very, very honest and fair. They made one mistake, okay? But nothing to do with their justice system. So, that's one aspect. There's another aspect. And that is that a person can really interject his own personal requests within the Shmoneh Esrei. And that's legitimate. That's the original form of prayer. A person says, Refa'inu. He can say, and Hashem, please heal so-and-so. And that adds to the personal level of prayer. Person says, "V'lamalshinim al titikva." He could speak about the people who might tell him over to the IRS, or the missionaries that are crawling around the Tachana Merkazit. A person says, "Shema Koleinu." He can interject any need he has. So another way in which a person can make the prayer more meaningful is by going slowly and adding to the prayer wherever it's relevant to him. I think, though, that if a person just takes the time to pray slowly, then the prayer has a tremendous amount of meaning in and of itself. But you got to think. And if a person would take 2 minutes before prayer to write down his thoughts, then the prayer bichlal has a tremendous meaning on its own. I walk into prayer with notes. I have notes. I have the soldiers who I'm praying for. I have the sick people who I'm praying for. I have the people who need shiduchim who I'm praying for. Unfortunately, some of the notes are constant, right? You have people who they haven't gotten married in 5 years. For 5 years, I'm davening for them. You have the people who have been sick for 5 years. For 5 years, I've been davening for them. But it's not always that way. And if a person really makes his prayer meaningful, then a person can reach the point, like the Kuzari describes, where he lives life between prayers. He's always waiting for the next encounter. It's like when you start dating your wife, where you can't wait for the next date, where you're just waiting for the next time you could have time together to talk. So prayer can be that way too. When the prayer is meaningful, so then a person walks away from prayer rejuvenated. And as his day progresses, as things come up, he keeps thinking, I can't wait to talk to God about that one.
That doesn't seem a little if he's saying you can't wait to talk to God about it, but you already know God knows about it.
That's a separate question about prayer altogether. The fact that God knows about it doesn't mean that he's going to act on it. When I pray, then I'm expressing what I want in the situation. Anytime you listen to news, anytime something happens in your life, so you have who to turn to. But that's if a person's prayer is meaningful. So So then he's waiting for that next opportunity to have the conversation. And that's attainable. It's not just a story. A person can get to that level. Every person can.
And what about the